Well, let's talk about food problems today. I guess all of us can tell stories about food problems, and I'm sure yours are good stories. I've heard a number of your food stories. But really, let's talk about something far more significant, because while we do open the scriptures today, we will talk about food problems. But really, what we're going to talk about, and I want to talk to you about and with you about, is something far more significant. What I want to talk to you about is, what do you really believe about God? I'm not saying, what do you know about God? I want to talk with you about, what do you really believe about God? We're in a series entitled Daring to Follow God's Call. It's on the life of Elisha. Elisha was a prophet who dared to leave his established, comfortable life to follow God's call. He dared to follow the leading prophet of his generation in spite of the hardship it would necessitate. He dared to become the voice for God in righteousness in a divided nation in moral and spiritual decline. He dared to be different when compromised religion was the order of the day. He dared to impact his generation and the next. He dared to ask God for more power. He dared to follow God's call. Learning from his life, we've learned, is not for those who are satisfied with compromise and convenient or even the status quo. Rather, learning from his life is best for those who will dare to follow God's call. And I'm so glad to say that God is still calling people today. He's boldly calling, and the question for all of us is, will I be daring and follow his call when he speaks to me? Now, for those of us who are daring to follow God's call, can I tell you about two realities that you will, along your journey of daring, that you will have to believe about God? First, you will have to believe that God is a God who can make blessing out of cursing. I'll say that again. You have to believe that God is a God who can make blessing out of cursing. That is, God will make good out of that which is bad. But there's another reality you'll have to believe. And that is, you'll have to believe that God is a God who can multiply his sufficiency out of our insufficiency. That is, you have to believe that God can do what I cannot. Now, part of Elisha's calling was training prophets. These men were called in the scriptures sons of the prophets. And God records two accounts in which these sons of the prophets, who dared in their generation to follow God's call, had to learn that God is a God who can make blessing out of cursing, and that God is a God who can multiply his sufficiency out of insufficiency. And guess what commodity God had to use, or God chose to use, to teach these prophets these really important realities? Guess what commodity? Yeah, food. So turn with me in your Bible to the book of 2 Kings again. And we'll return to 2 Kings chapter 4. And when you find 2 Kings chapter 4, you want to find verse 38. And we will together consider from verse 38 through verse 44 in the few moments that we have together. So I'll give you a few moments to find it. And then we will in just a moment stand and I will read the scriptures. All right, you there? Let's all stand and follow along as I read the scriptures aloud today. The first account begins in verse 38. Then Elisha came to Gilgal. And there was a dearth in the land. And the sons of the prophets were sitting before him. And he said unto his servant, set on the great pot and seethe, or boil the pottage, the soup for the sons of the prophets. And one went out into the field to gather herbs and found a wild vine and gathered thereof wild gourds and a lap full and came and shred them into the pot of pottage, for they knew them not. And so they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, "Oh, thou man of God, there is death in the pot." And they could not eat thereof. But he said, "Then bring meal." And he cast it into the pot, and he said, "Pour out for the people that they may eat." And there was no harm in the pot. You see, on this food problem, these sons of the prophets learned that God is a God who can make blessing out of cursing. Let's read the other account. Verse 42. "And then there came a man from Baal Shalisha, and brought the man of God bread of the first fruits, 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And he said, 'Give unto the people that they may eat.' And his servitor," that is his servant, "said, 'What, should I set this before 100 men?' And he said again, 'Give the people that they may eat. For thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall have leave thereof," leftovers. So he set it before them, and they did eat, and left thereof according to the word of the Lord. And see, from this, these sons of the prophets learned that God is a God who can multiply sufficiency out of insufficiency. Now listen, if you will be a man, a woman, a young person who will dare to follow God's call, these two food stories are going to give you some truths that you're going to have. In fact, you're going to have to hold on to these at times. It will be the only thing that will keep you going. And all of that from food stories. So let's ask God to speak to us from these food stories about the story of the life that God has called each of us to live. All right? So Lord God, it is really with such gratitude and humility that we open these accounts, these historical records of your supernatural work. And what's wonderful about it is that while we live in a different time and you work in different ways, you are still doing wonderful supernatural works that become a record of individuals' lives and of the people that you have brought here on this day. Lord God, it is our request that you would speak to us so that from here there will be many who will boldly follow your call because they believe who you are. And so, God the Spirit, help us, and we ask for his supernatural filling or enabling for me as the preacher, as well as for all of us to hear. And so we pray it in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you. Please be seated. Well, these are miraculous food accounts, but they tell us so much more than just interesting stories. They tell us what you have to believe, I mean really believe, about God if you're going to dare to follow his call. The first of those two I shared with you already, and I want to share it again, is that God is a God who can make blessing out of cursing. That is, God can make good out of bad. Now let's look at this event. The event begins in chapter 4, verse 38. And Elisha came again to Gilgal. Gilgal was a place where it was one of these campuses. There were a number of places where these sons of the prophets lived, and they were there on this campus. And again, Elisha comes to there. He evidently had been there many times before. And then we're told there's a dearth in the land. Remember, there was a famine. We read about it later in our series. We've already addressed it, that in chapter 8, there was a 7-year famine that God brought, that Elisha had prophesied, and they're living in the midst of this famine. And then you'll notice that school's in session, and he's doing preacher's training, because we are told that these sons of the prophets were sitting before him. Well, he's doing his training with these men, and he realizes that after a while, I've got to feed these guys. And so you'll notice then he sends his servant to kitchen duty. And he says to this one of the servants there, verse 38, set on the great pot and see either boil pottage. When you read pottage, think of soup or stew for the sons of the prophets. And I can picture this guy. You'll notice again, and so he's on kitchen duty in verse 39. He went out in the field to gather herbs. And he's out there, and you can imagine, it's a great pot. I mean, he's feeding a lot of guys. And I'm picturing this. He has the water in the pot. He has the fire into the pot. He's letting that big pot come to a boil. But he's, you know, we need to add some flavor here. And he's out there, and he's gathering herbs, and he's trying to get some things he's going to put into this stew to make it just that much better. And then you'll notice, as he's going, he found, verse 39, a wild vine, and gathered there of wild gourds. And can't you see him? Hey, look at that. I don't know what that is, but that sure looks good. Probably add some color. I know what I'll do. That'll be my secret ingredient. And one of those guys goes, oh, that is so good. What'd you put in that? Oh, it's my secret ingredient. So secret, he didn't even know what it was. And there could have been wild cucumbers. There's question about that. There, others say it's another plant called a coquinthus that has poisonous properties. But whatever it was, we really don't know. But we do know this, that this guy picked up some wild, some gourds, some vegetables, and he puts them in his lap. It could have been that in his belt he could have had folds. That would be a way they would carry things. It may be that he took his outside coat and tucked it into his belt and put all the vegetables there in his coat, and he carries them back. And I can just see this guy. It's like he's got his cooking show. And there he is. If you'll look at your Bible, verse 40. He gathered the gourds and he came and shred them into the pottage, for they knew them not. And boy, here he is. He's so excited. And it's dinner time, verse 40, and they poured out for the men to eat. And it came to pass as they were eating of the pottage that they cried out and said, oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot, food poisoning. Now, can I tell you kids something? Listen to me, pay attention. I would not recommend, if your mom has one of those meals that just isn't a winner. How many of you all know what I'm talking about? Hey. You are a little more enthusiastic about that than you really should have been, probably. Man. Hey, listen, can I give you kids, listen to this advice. When it's not maybe mom's best effort, I would recommend that you do not go biblical. There's death in the pot. Oh, there's death in the pot. Oh, hold on. Little discretion there. Food poisoning. They couldn't even keep it down. Call the health department. No, don't call the health department. Look at verse 40 again. Oh, thou man of God. Call the man of God. So they call Elisha. Elisha, verse 41, he said, bring the meal. And they bring a container of cornmeal, and he takes a handful, and he casts it into the pot and said, pour out for the people that they may eat. And there was no harm in the pot. Well, there's a miraculous healing that was come to this meal. And I know there are some meals that probably need a miraculous healing. But really, what was more miraculous is that God took something in which there was cursing, and from that which was cursing, God brought blessing. You see, those that dare to follow God's call believe that God is able to make blessing out of cursing. Now, here's my question. My question is how? How can God do that for me? Because all of us can tell in our story about things that are in our life past, in our life present. All of us can tell stories about things in our life that were things that were placed, things of cursing and things that were bad. Is there anybody that hasn't had bad things happen in their life? But those that dare to follow God's call realize and believe this about God, that God is able, even in those things that are cursings, God from it is able to bring blessing. And when God does this, as God makes blessing out of cursing, I want you to know first that God calls us to act in faith. So Elisha says, bring the meal and cast it into the pot. And he said, pour out for the people that they may eat. Now, Elisha is taking the potluck supper to a whole new level. And I want you to imagine if you're there. Imagine that you're at the end of the line. And you're at the end of the line, and you watch what has happened, because you see the guys, some of those guys always get to the front of the line. They always get to the front of the food line. And they're up there at the front of the food line, and they get their soup. You're waiting, and they get their soup, and as you're progressing bowl by bowl into the line, these guys are already over there eating, and all of a sudden you see these guys turn green. And you see that they're having a hard time holding their soup down. And you hear them cry out, oh, thou man of God, there's death in the pot. And you watch all of this, and you see Elisha come, and he casts the meal in. And now he says, all right, everybody, here you go. Soup's on. Now, would you feel good about getting in the soup line? I read this and I wonder, and the Bible doesn't say, I wonder if Elisha went first just to set their mind at ease, or if others did, but somebody had to go first. An act of faith. The miracle of the soup being healed, so to speak, is wonderful. But oh, I love the faith of those who would take their soup bowl and say, all right. I watched what everybody else did, but if God said it's okay, it's okay. And do you realize that if you're going to follow God's call, if you really believe, what you really believe about God is that God can take cursing and make blessing, He'll call you to take steps of faith, an act of faith where you say, okay, God, I'm not sure how this is going to taste. I'm not sure what this is going to mean. I don't know if I can even make it, but God, you said that I need to take that soup and I need to take a bite, and I'm willing to take a bite. See, for you, my guess is that's not your issue. But for you, the Almighty God is speaking to you about your issue where you need to believe God. The Almighty God is doing a work in your life, and you see your sin and the weight of it, and everything you've tried isn't enough, and you realize, I'm missing something. I can't do this. And that's why God came to us, so that God, the Son, Jesus, could die and rose again from the dead, so that what you can't do, He can, because He is the God who died in your place and has new life. You've tried all kinds of things, and everything you try just doesn't seem to work, and you're banging your head against the wall, it feels like, and God is dealing with you, and now it's time to take an act of faith. I'm going to have to just believe God and do it God's way. See, this is how God turns cursing into blessing, how God brings blessing out of cursing, and He calls people bite by bite in this case, step by step in yours, to believe God in faith. Then, as God calls you to take those steps of faith, and He begins to take cursing and bring blessing, God causes us to grow in faith. Yes, as God makes blessings from cursing, God causes us to grow in faith. You know what these prophets found out? Look at your Bible. Here's what they found out, verse 41. And there was no harm in the pot. Now, I want you to imagine yourself there. How, if you were given your bowl of soup, how would you eat your bowl of soup? Now, some of us might take it and here's our bowl of soup. We have our spoon and we're just a little test. Maybe a little slurp. Now, some of us slurp anyway. Now, that's probably how I do it because I'm weak in faith. Now, you all, many of you, you're so strong in faith, you're probably all in, man. Give me that bowl of soup and you're just ready to, let's take a bite and let's go. But I imagine this, the first bite, everything's okay. I'm not sick to my stomach. It's not so, we're all right. The next bite, boy, you feel a little better, right? Let's try that next one. It's okay. And you see, the more you take steps of faith, God grows in your faith. But when they come to the end of that bowl, boy, they're good. Some of those guys, they're hungry. They probably want some seconds. Hey, could I have another helping? Give me more. Do you realize that God does this in your life? God takes you on your journey, and he calls you to take acts of faith. And then, as you take acts of faith, he grows you in your faith. Now, so let me ask you this. Where are you on the faith continuum? The faith continuum on one side of it is a crisis of faith. Those are key times. And in your life, there are key times when you are called to believe God, and God makes it so clear, this is a step of faith. I must do things God's way and believe God. I have to. Hit that crisis, you say, yes, I'm going to believe God. And as you believe God, then you follow through with those initial acts. You are in the cautious faith stage in the continuum. And then what you'll find is that God proves himself. And as God proves himself, you grow in faith and now you become confident in faith. And then as you become more confident and you continue to live and believe God and live by faith, then you'll experience confirmed faith. Your life becomes a living record of what God does in the life of a person who is willing to believe him. This becomes so much more than just pages you read in a book that was written long ago, all true. But it becomes so much more than that. These pages become mirrors of the story of your life because you found it to be so that God is true. Then you experience contagious faith because as God is working in you and you become a living testament of how God takes cursing and turns it into blessing, then your faith blesses so many others and spreads to people around you. So where are you at this point in your life? And what you'll find is as you grow in faith, that God will in your life, and you'll find this happen so many times in your journey of life with Christ, is he will bring you to new places of crisis in faith where again you have to believe God. And again now you're cautious in those next steps. And then you're confirmed because God is true. And then your life begins to live out this confidence and your faith spreads and you grow. So where are you on that faith continuum? The church at Thessalonica was a church that began, at the very early days. They began in times of trouble and challenge. And yet they were such a strong church. And the Apostle Paul writes them a letter, and he writes them actually two. And in the second letter that he writes to them, he tells them this: "We are bound to thank God always for you, brethren, as it is meet or fitting, because that your faith groweth exceedingly. And the charity of every one of you all toward each other aboundeth, so that we ourselves glory in you in the churches of God for your patience and faith in all your persecutions and tribulations that ye endure." And he says, I'm going to tell you, you're growing. Tribulation and problems and all of that, things that are cursing. But the blessing is that God is taking the tribulation and troubles that are meant as cursings, and God is turning those into blessings as you grow in your faith. You're growing in your faith and you're growing in your love. So much so that not just me, but other churches, we observe what is happening as you endure suffering and as you are growing in faith in the midst of this. And we are blessed. That's contagious faith. So what do you really believe about God? Do you really believe, really, that God is able to make blessing out of cursing? If you don't believe this, my friend, you're not going to make it when you dare to follow God's call. You have to believe that God is able to make blessing out of cursing because of who He is. Well, that's our first food story. Real food problem, I guess you would agree. But then there's another food story. We've learned that God is a God that is able to make blessing out of cursing. But in the next food story, we learn this, that God is a God who can multiply His sufficiency out of our sufficiency. Oh, I'm so glad that God can make good out of bad, but I am so glad as well that God can do for me what I cannot. So we come to the second story. Again, let's look at this event. It begins with a gracious presentation. 2 Kings chapter 4, verse 42. And there came a man from Baal Shalisha and brought the man of God of the first fruits 20 loaves of barley and full ears of corn and the husk thereof. And Gilgal is in the hill region of Ephraim. It's about 15 miles from Baal Shalisha. Baal Shalisha is on the foothills, the western foothills of the Ephraim hill country. It's about 15 miles, pretty rugged hike. It's springtime because he comes and brings barley loaves and corn, the first fruits, and that is the first crops that would come in the springtime are barley and corn. And so he brings these as offerings, and really, how gracious. That's a long way to hike for 15 barley loaves and 15 pieces of corn on the cob. But he brings then his very gracious presentation. But then you'll notice, if you will, the end of verse 42, that Elisha says, "Give unto the people that they may eat." And that created a great problem because the servant says in verse 43, "And what should I set before 100 men?" Now, to help us picture this, I want you to picture what a barley loaf is. A barley loaf, when you think barley loaf, don't think of a big loaf of bread. I want you to think of a dinner roll. A barley loaf is probably going to be 3, maybe 4 inches. But let's say 5 inches. And I know it's time change weekend, so let's do some math, all right? Especially y'all that are good at math, really help the rest of us out, all right? So I want you to imagine this. You have barley loaves, 20 barley loaves. Each barley loaf is 5 inches. How many inches of barley loaf do you have if you put each of these 20 barley loaves end to end? How many inches do you have? Thank you, mathematicians. 100. All right. How many of you got 100, right? You got 100? Hey, all right, good. It's Sunday morning. You've already made it 1 for 1 on your test. All right. So you have 100 inches of barley loaf. Hold on to that number. And then you have 20 ears of corn. Now, I don't know exactly how long an average number would be, but let's say, because it's round numbers, let's say that after you pull the husk off and all, let's say that that ear of corn was 10 inches. Now, calculate this for me. You have 20 ears of corn, each at 10 inches. How many inches of corn do you have? 200. All right, now let's keep going. You have, how many men did the servant say he was going to feed? 100. Let's figure this out. If you have 100 men, now you kids thought school didn't go till tomorrow, did you? In life, school's always in session. All right, so you have 100 inches of barley loaf, and you have 100 men. How much, if each of the men got an equal piece, how big is each man's piece of barley bread? 1 inch. All right, so you have 200 inches of corn on the cob. 100 men. How many inches is the portion for each man? If each man gets an equal portion, how many? 2 inches. Now, when you sit down to eat today, how many of you think that you would be satisfied with a 1-inch piece of bread and a 2-inch piece of corn on the cob, and that would be enough for you? You say, oh, man, I'm full. I can't eat another thing. Mm-mm. And to help you to really picture it, let me pull out. I always have a 3x5 card. Here's your 3x5 card. Your lunch portion today is this wide. Now, you can understand then why the servant said, verse 43, what, should I set this before 100 men? Man, I mean, what are you going to do with hungry men? Especially if they're hungry and grumpy and hangry. Boy, men are hard, but a hungry man? Oh, why? What are you going to do with this guy? What are we going to do with these men? And so, so I want you to then notice Elisha's proclamation in verse 43, when he says, give the people that they may eat. Thus saith the Lord, they shall eat and shall have leave thereof. There will be leftovers. And then you'll notice God's provision. So he set before them, verse 44, and they did eat and had leftovers thereof according to the word of the Lord. Now we've looked at this miraculous event. Let's learn from this miraculous event. Because how many of you know that that's wonderful that that happened to them, but that doesn't change my life when I read about this. See, what God wants to do is change your life. So let's learn from this event. I want you to learn first that the God who multiplies his sufficiency out of our insufficiency brings us to points that reveal to us our insufficiency. Can I say that again? The God who multiplies his sufficiency out of our insufficiency brings us to points that reveal to us our insufficiency. Elisha says, feed everybody. What? I've got 100 guys here. That's not enough to feed 100 guys. But sir, you don't understand. You're not the guy that has to deal with these people. There's no way we're going to have enough. Have you ever been at a point in your life when you realize that your resources are insufficient? I can't do this. You realize that all of your efforts and all of your religion and all that you are, you say, I still can't get rid of the guilt and the fear and the stain of my sin before a holy God. I just can't. I've tried. Have you ever been at a place in your life when you're at such a crisis point that you realize there is no way? I've got a problem that's too big. I've got questions that are too great. It might even look like on the outside things are going really great, but really inside of me, I know I'm desperate. The Apostle Paul, or excuse me, the Apostle James, or the author of James writes to people who are going through difficult times, and he opens his book and tells them about some of the challenges that they're having, and he speaks to them. And in James chapter 1, verse 5, he says, "If any of you lack wisdom," my resources aren't enough. I don't know what to do. I don't know how to take the next step. "If any of you lack wisdom, let him ask of God that giveth to all men liberally." He just generously pours out wisdom and upbraideth not. He doesn't take it away. "And it shall be given." And in your life, God intentionally brings you to James 1:5 moments when you say, "God, I realize I don't have enough resources. I can't do this." Now, the fact is, we're always that way in all the time in our lives. But God makes us, reveals to us the reality that this is where I am. And when God brings you to that point, now you can ask. And people that dare to live God's dream come to these points. And when you come to these points, this is on one hand, this is so challenging because you realize you're insufficient. But on the other hand, it's so wonderful because now you're at a place where God can pour out his sufficiency with his resources that are always enough for the moment and take you beyond where you are. And that's where you are maybe in your life right now. And it is so that the God who multiplies his sufficiency out of our insufficiency brings us to points that reveal to us our insufficiency. But there's something else. And that is this, that the points that reveal our insufficiency grow our faith in God's sufficiency. And that's why this account ends exactly the way God ends it. Because in verse 44, do you see how God puts it? When God says that he set before them they did eat and left thereof according, and uses this expression, according to the word of the Lord. Because God wanted to, in a sense, close the book and say, look, it always will come out in the end just the way God said it would. God is going to be true. He'll be proven true every time. And I'm going to tell you, in your life, when you're at those crisis points and you're insufficient and you ask God, "Dear God, help me," what I'm telling you is that God will grow you in your faith if you will take him at his word. And in the end, it'll take some time, but in the end, you'll look back. And here's what you'll say. You'll say, what God said is true. Jesus, in Luke 17, Jesus talked to the disciples about doing something very difficult. Maybe you have found this to be difficult as well in your life at times. He talked to his disciples about forgiving people when you have been wronged. And you forgive, and you forgive, and you forgive again. In fact, you don't have any right not to forgive. Oh, for them, that was a hard thing. Do you know what they said to Jesus? They said to Jesus, "Lord, increase our faith." Lord, I mean, we've left all to follow you. Lord, we've gone with you and seen so many things. We've seen all the things that you've done. In fact, John records there are so many things Jesus did. I couldn't write them all down. There's just so many. The world couldn't contain all the. But Lord, with all that we've done, you have brought us to this. And now that's a hard ask. We can't do it. So God, we're asking you to do this. Would you increase our faith? And God is bringing you to places in your life when you can't do it. And do you know what you need to ask the Lord? I ask the Lord, what we do? We say to the Lord, Lord, increase our faith. My faith isn't strong enough. It hasn't grown enough to be able to believe you, but I'm going to take you at your word. And if you'll help me, God, I will believe you. And when you take God at his word and believe him, God, little by little, grows your faith. Was this the last time that God Almighty multiplied food? Hundreds of years after this, God the Son came to the earth, and the Lord Jesus ran into a food problem. He had a big group of people following him. There, you can read about it in a number of places. This one I'll reference, John 14. He had 5,000 men. And then women and children, and they're following him, and it's getting to be dinner time. And what are we going to do? We have to feed these people. How many of you ladies would like to have to cook for 5,000 people? It's like our daughter that's on the USS Harry S. Truman, the aircraft carrier. It's like trying to feed them, the whole crew of the aircraft carrier. Wow, that's a job. And then, what are we going to do? And there's a little old boy. He brought his 5 loaves and 2 fishes. Well, okay, we can work with that. Jesus said, I want you to just go ahead and you start giving out food. But Lord, we only have 5 loaves and 2 fishes. What are we going to do? How's this? You just do it. And you know what they start to do? They start breaking off bread, man. They're breaking off bread and filling up baskets. They're taking baskets, and every time they take a basket and they empty a basket, they come back with another one, and they're breaking off bread, putting fish. And the more they break off, the more bread there is, the more fish they put in a basket, the more fish there are. All those people are fed. Another time, the 16th chapter of Matthew, they had another big crowd, not as big as the first crowd. This one only had 4,000 men and women and children beside. Hey, it's late. We're out in a desert place, and it's late, and we can't feed these people. All we have is, in that case, 7 loaves and 2 fish, or 3 fish, or 7 loaves and a few fish. You just start breaking bread, man. There they go, they're breaking off bread, putting it in baskets, carrying out to the people. And they come back with another basket, and they're breaking off bread. And the more they break, the more bread there is. And they're giving out fish. And the more fish they give out, the more there is. Oh, thousands of people are fed. You see, when your resources aren't enough, God's resources are unlimited. And God brings you and I to places as he dares us to follow him, where without resources, he calls us to believe him. And when you're at that point in your life, that is when how you respond tells everybody you know in your heart of hearts, and is your testimony, this is what I really believe about my God. So what do you really believe about God? Would you stand, please?